You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Chris Molina.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, while we all like to laugh, not all of us are great at making the laughs happen. We talked to a humor blogger about the rocky journey of learning to be funny.
Right now, northern Wisconsin is still recovering from torrential rainstorms last month that caused widespread damage and flooding throughout the region. Some roads were completely washed out, and homeowners in the area are wondering what to do with their properties in the future.
These rainstorms and floods were previously thought to be once-in-a-generation occurrences, but seem to be happening much more regularly.
Danielle Kading is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News based in Superior. She's been covering the repair efforts in the region. Danny, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Chris.
So bring us up to speed as to how we got here in the first place.
Well, of course, we saw some torrential rains over the weekend of the 18th or the 17th, or the I forget the exact dates now, but middle of June, we saw a bunch of rain, up to 15 inches of rain in central Bayfield County, all in just the course of 3 days. And that really hit areas of southern and central Douglas and Bayfield counties pretty hard. It wasn't as bad as 2016 when you look at the dollar amount so far as from what we know, but we haven't gotten any final estimates yet. But it looked like it was kind of localized on those areas and, that were hit hardest, even though five counties have been included in that emergency disaster declaration area.
So you said that maybe this doesn't rise to the same financial level as the floods in 2016. We don't quite know that yet. But in terms of impact to residents, I've been seeing a lot of pictures, a lot of videos of major highways washed out. Were these floods possibly having a bigger impact on residents now than the floods from a couple of years ago?
You know, it's hard to say right now because we don't have final numbers. What I do know is that at least 120 seasonal and year-round homes in Douglas County have been affected. That's around several lakes in the county that saw their flood elevations reach about 4 feet higher than what they planned for if the area was to flood. So there have been a number of homeowners there that have seen anywhere from a couple inches to several feet of water on their main floor. And they've seen washed out driveways. And so it's just something that kind of took them by surprise. And they're trying to clean up now and see what resources might be available to them.
Yeah. What are the possible options ahead for these homeowners? I would imagine that there's a lot of cleanup and then a lot of question marks.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to say right now what assistance will be available to them. There is a community development block grant program, the emergency assistance program, where some people can look for housing assistance there. But it sounds like if they were going to get federal assistance, that there would have to be somewhere between 400 to 500 homes that would have been damaged in order to meet the threshold to get federal assistance through FEMA. So it doesn't look like, at least the Douglas County officials, they're not real confident right now that cabin and homeowners will be able to qualify for federal aid. But, you know, maybe some low-interest loans or grants might be available to them to help them recover. And hopefully some of them had flood insurance, although it's not sure how many did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I know you talked to one person in your reporting who said, I have flood insurance, it could be a lot worse. But, I mean, do we have a sense as to how prevalent flood insurance is in the area?
You know, it seems to be this kind of concept that only people become aware of after it happens, right? I think people are starting to become more educated about it as we're seeing more frequent and intense rain events in the area. But it's hard to say how many people actually had flood insurance. I know some people have said that they've had car insurance, and so any cars that they had damaged by the storm, they're lucky on that one. But even the guy I talked to said that the insurance that he did have wasn't going to cover the cost of him moving around from hotel to hotel until his home can be repaired, which could take several months.
And even getting to some of these homes in the first place sounded like it was difficult with major highways being washed out. Where are we at in terms of repairs to these roads?
Well, the state and federal highways, they didn't see as much damage this time around as they did a couple years ago. I mean, we saw a little bit of inconvenience on U.S. Highway 53 near Solon Springs that was reduced from 4 lanes to 2 because they had a couple of culverts there that washed out. And State Highway 35, there was a bridge washout over the Black River by Pattison State Park. The biggest washout is on U.S. Highway 2 near Ino, about 20 minutes outside of Ashland. That's going to take until August for them to repair, and they're thinking that's going to cost about $2.2 million. But that doesn't even take into account the number of town and county roads that have been washed out or damaged, and, you know, a number of them are still closed.
We're talking right now with Danielle Kading. She's a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News based in Superior, and we are talking about recovery, repair efforts in northern Wisconsin after severe flooding in the region. And, Danny, severe weather, we're no stranger to it here in Wisconsin. We get rain, we get floods, tornadoes from time to time.
I think I prefer blizzards.
You know, I never thought I would say it, but I think I might agree with you. But this rain that we've been getting, it seems to be more and more and more. You know, maybe some of these flooding events are happening more frequently. What are you hearing from meteorologists that you've been talking to?
Yeah, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration put out this kind of official analysis of that weekend's storms in June, and it confirmed that some areas of northwestern Wisconsin saw anywhere from 100 to 1,000-year rainfall events. So basically, these are rains that are only projected to occur once in a lifetime or once in a millennia. And the Drummond area, as I said before, was very hard hit when they saw up to 15 inches of rain there over the course of several days. So, but, you know, in the last decade, we've seen, you know, July 2016, we saw 100-year flood events and 1,000-year flood events with the Bad River and how high that rose. I think it was 27 feet at the peak. And, you know, in June 2012, obviously, the Duluth Superior area was horribly hit horribly bad with a 500-year flood event. So, you know, it's just we're hearing that these things are only supposed to be happening once every 100, once every 1,000 years, but in the last several years, we've seen a little bit more frequency in that. And there's a little bit of a difference in, I guess, how they project that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, too, are meteorologists starting to reconsider the way that they're measuring this if we're having 100-year flooding events, you know, every couple of years now?
Okay, well, so WisContext did a great story about the 100-year flood concept. So I would recommend people go to wiscontext.org and check that out. But the way the probability of a flood is described right now is a 1% chance of a flood happening in any given year, or what's known as the 100-year flood. But that's all based on data about what's happened in an area in the past. And there are some problems with that because some areas have more complete data sets than others. And sometimes it goes back to the 1800s, but in other places you're working on about 50 years of rainfall records. But they're probabilities, you know, projections, predictions. That doesn't mean it's an absolute science. It's a baseline, not an end-all. So we know we're seeing it, and I think there's going to be it's a little unclear how that could be calculated in the future. With scientists and businesses and local governments, they would all have to sort out which projections to use and how to use them.
And I would imagine that going forward, you know, city officials, town officials, county officials are going to be thinking about this as they're planning, as they're looking at investments. What are you hearing, if anything, from these people at this point about what this means for, I don't know, future economic development in the area?
Yeah, I'm not sure about economic development, but I do know that the Wisconsin Wetlands Association just released a new study, and they're saying that, you know, maybe northern Wisconsin is more prone to flood damage right now because of the way their wetlands are right now. They're seeing stream beds that are carved deeper, and they're getting disconnected to wetland systems, and so that water that would normally spread out across the landscape is rushing downstream faster. And that, so basically you're seeing more flood peaks with that. And so they're making the case that maybe we can go upstream, make some changes to stream beds, stabilize them, and perhaps that could reduce flood risks in the future.
And as we begin to wrap up, will there be more prevention efforts or initiatives going forward?
Well, it sounds like the Wetlands Association would like to see that, and I'm sure that many people in northern Wisconsin would like to find a way to prevent this kind of damage. I mean, when you're talking about millions of dollars, you know, the average annual budget for a city like Ashland is $10 to $12 million a year. And you talk about, 2016, when we saw $35 million in damage across several counties. It's a lot of money that a lot of these towns and counties don't have.
Well, Danny, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Danielle Kading is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News based in Superior. She joined us today to give an update on flooding recovery efforts in northern Wisconsin.